Hello, my name is Brandy Hofer, your host and founder of Color Me Happy, a community podcast and book, all of which I started in my in-home studio whilst in the throes of motherhood. I am an artist, author, educator, and mother to three beautiful boys. We live and create together in our in-home studio that is tucked away in the quiet Canadian prairies. Our podcast and community was built to empower and inspire. We chat about everything from motherhood, the art world, business, and health in the most honest and authentic way. It's totally unedited and unfiltered. If you love what we do here, become a part of our free community, Color Me Happy. We have grown the community to support our members with features and interviews. Our link is in the notes. Thank you for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. Welcome to Color Me Happy Podcast. Thank you for being here. My name is Brandy, your host. I'm really excited about this conversation we had with Catherine today because she takes us through how getting, like building your subscribers list and having a unique path to success with your creative business can basically sustain your career, sustain your practice, and it can be your full-time job. It just depends on what path you want to take, where you are happiest, really. What are you happiest doing? And she loves creating content for YouTube and then having those freebie giveaways and building her subscribers list and then selling her classes and finding success in different pieces of the pie. So this is a really in-depth episode. Catherine's always full of copious amounts of information that we can take away and learn from. And not only that, but she's a viral sensation. She does really well on her socials, and there's so much just to take away from even observing her as a creative, which I have done, and I've now had the great honor of becoming friends with her and getting to know her better in not just a professional level, but as a person. And we message back and forth, and she has a lot of great advice. So I'm sure you will feel the same way when you listen to this episode. Get our free marketing thing in the notes below. It will take you in how we have found success as a creative in social media, and that how that can redefine your practice and get you there on a little budget, which not all of us have the hugest ad budget. So I'm gonna get you started on that in the best way that I know how to show you. And from what I've gained the knowledge in the past, like 5 years, as social media has completely taken over everyone's creative career, and how to have fun with it and how to use your creativity to really enjoy yourself, because it really is another way of creating, and I want you to think about it that way. So join us there. We can't wait to hear from you. You can always, my kids are home. You can always find us in the Color Me Happy community on Facebook, our free community, as well as Brandy Hofer Studios on Instagram. We're happy to chat anytime. Feel free to reach out and enjoy it. Enjoy. Thanks. Bye. On to my passion and the things that I do, because, like, for example, the podcast, I get to talk and meet with other creatives, like-minded people, and like that fills my connection cup. So it's just about, I guess, time and balance management. So my dad does pick him up on Wednesdays, but before that, we built a marble set, a pillow fort.
Today?
They get up at 6:30. We've played with the chickens a lot. And so by the time my dad gets here, like, my teddy cup is full and I'm ready for something else.
How long will Teddy be gone?
He'll be gone till about 2:30.
Wow, that's
not
much time.
And then I edit and do the podcast. Yeah, I have to be really efficient with the time I have
on
the in-betweens. Yeah, how are you? What's new?
I'm good. How are you? All is well.
Guess what?
What?
We, yesterday in my art academy, through our public school system, we were featuring you as our artist.
Really?
Yeah, we're doing abstract expressionism mixed with collage, and so we had you playing all day.
You had me playing all day. How were you
doing
that? How were you doing that?
Well, we had your YouTube, and then we had a lot of your Instagram reels, so they could understand the process of layering. So we were making our own papers. We were making our own papers with jelly printing. And so we were prepping for the projects, but of course they were really itching to get started. So a lot of them started the projects, and they were very precious about them. Like they wouldn't keep them at the school in their art folder. They're like, I'm taking this home with me now. Like they wouldn't risk it. So it was a good project. And they really like it. The only challenge is it's art materials times 62 children. So
You're teaching 62 kids at a time?
split in two. So we do the first group and then we do the second group.
Wow.
So yeah, it's fun. But yeah, they loved your technique and it's super approachable and they love making papers. And I know in our first episode, so if listeners haven't tuned into the first episode with Catherine, it's wildly popular. Tune into the first one to learn about more because you've like found freedom when you first came back into collage, right?
Yeah, I'd say I found my voice because I had played with lots of other, I played with any kind of art form that struck my fancy. I just gave myself the freedom. But when I discovered that I could actually do painting and collage at the same time, it changed the whole game. Then I really totally embraced what I love to do, and then it expanded quickly after that, actually.
Yeah, very quickly, because I think the last time we spoke, you were just like, I'm gonna try doing YouTube again. And now it's like, and that's what I messaged you to talk about, right? Setting up. Was it?
And that was
And
a
I
yes.
actually don't know where my phone is, but a couple of weeks ago, I was like, should come back on and talk about was it diversified income streams and like being a multifaceted creative? Was that it? Can't remember.
We can go anywhere you want. But I
Yeah, for
thought the
sure.
first time we talked, I didn't realize the first time we talked was so long ago. And
It was.
it was actually before I had done my YouTube channel. And now I've been doing it for, well, over a year. And I've taken a short break at the moment, but I'm just about to
It's a
start.
lot.
Doing a YouTube channel is an animal, probably the same as doing a podcast, but it's very, very planned out. You know, in order to do a YouTube channel that people want to actually watch, you know, you have to, there's a lot of ingredients. And I have been kind of teaching myself the ingredients. And taking courses, you know, at the same time. Like, how
Yeah,
do you
so
actually do
you did self you're you do all the editing and you self-taught.
I have a virtual assistant that does some editing for me. But, you know, in terms of like what it looks like, mo that's me. You know, I've put together based on what I've seen from other artists. So kind of put together a format. And you know, it's working. You know, I get a lot of views. And you know, a lot of views brings people to my account, and then they want to take classes with me. So it's kind of like a, it's an infrastructure. You know, YouTube is one piece of the pie to get people to broaden my audience, to broaden my reach. And it also helps me, you know, because the focus of my YouTube channel at the moment is how to create collage papers. So every week I
So
teach.
it's one thing, but it's like a working cog, but with one focus point. I got to be on the Jenna Kutcher podcast. I don't know if you know Jenna
Oh,
Kutcher.
yeah, that's
Yeah,
really
the
cool.
stars aligned and somehow I got my way on there by just putting myself out there in her little gold digger
Good for you.
community. And she's like, that was part of her advice, was like, focus on that one thing that people are grabbing onto. Like, what is working well? Don't try to do everything, but what's that one thing? I would say with her, it was like the Pinterest thing, like that was her one thing that grew and grew and grew, and she focused on it, focused on it, and then could build her team and like spread out more. So with your channel, you're doing kind of like you have a focus, but it's leading to something greater. So I really think it's important for creatives to know, and I want to hear your process and thought at the beginning, because You know, we all want to be popular with reels and shorts and et cetera, but the goal isn't followers. Like, you want followers, right? But the goal isn't followers. It's to have those ideal clients and like leading them somewhere. And that you just said was to your classes. So it's not all for, I love making videos and I love being popular on YouTube, right?
No, because YouTube is an animal. I mean, as in like a monster, it's a lot. So to me, it's an infrastructure. Like, to me, Instagram is where it all starts for me, you know? So if I get people interested in Instagram, they will be interested in a free 5-day class I have. And that 5 free-day class, so they start in one of two ways. They either find me on YouTube and then they're interested in a 5 free-day class. And then they might be interested in a paid class, or they find me on Instagram, free 5-day class. And then they might go to a paid class. So it's all kind of like,
it's your lead magnet.
It's my lead magnet. And I've had other lead magnets. This is probably my fourth one, the 5 free-day class. And before that, they were not successful at all. You know,
interesting. So you found your good lead magnet.
And I've had the same lead magnet for over 2 years.
I noticed that.
Yeah. And it's still going strong. So now
the good.
Yeah. Now I'm at the point where I'm doing Facebook ads to it, and it's outrageously successful to my great surprise, because, you know, there's only so many people I can get organically. And I've gotten my organic reach. I mean, I'm sure my organic reach will continue to expand, but there is a limit to how fast you can grow if you just depend on, just YouTube or just Instagram by themselves. So it's just in the last 3 or 4 months, I started doing Facebook ads, and now I'm also doing Pinterest, which I had not
Pinterest
done.
Pinterest ads.
But I actually have a Pinterest person, like a consultant. What do you call them? I guess she's a virtual assistant, but she's an expert on Pinterest. Kind of like a Jenna Kutcher. She works one-on-one with people. So she has taken over my Pinterest account. But that is the same as Instagram or YouTube. You know, people find me all the time on Pinterest, but I'm not very sophisticated, or I hadn't been on, you know, you get people engaged. Like, oh, they like what you do. And maybe they'll consider something else. You know, it's building, I guess, you know, you would call it a lead magnet, but it's, you know, it's an infrastructure to get to lead people to the bigger thing that you're doing, you know, and not a very small percentage of those people will go there. You know, it's 5-10%, and that's perfectly fine, because I also see.
And that's good if it's 5 or 10%.
Oh my God, 5% is phenomenal. Yes.
Yeah.
So I see what I'm doing for the rest of the 95% is I'm doing service. You know, I am supporting people in their creativity, and I'm perfectly fine that I'm giving them gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of the process, is you give a lot, and for the people you're meant to serve more, they will come along, you know, hopefully for the ride, you know, of what you're offering in a bigger sense, right?
Mm-hmm. And so I love that you said you hired virtual assistants, because sometimes people try to figure it all out, and it's so frustrating and time consuming. And it's just easier to pay or make the budget, or, you know, reach out and do those things, even though maybe you don't have the funds for it yet. It will accumulate more funds in the future. So Facebook ads, you have someone doing that. And I'm just curious, because I stopped doing Facebook ads because it was taking about, I was still making more, but it took about 50% of my income. So I was like, let's go back to the basics and like strip it all down, because my organic reach wasn't as high. So I wanted to really focus on getting that organic reach.
Yeah, I had done Facebook ads earlier too. By the way, can you hear the saw outside? Okay,
no.
Good. Because we have construction going outside. So I had done Facebook ads also, and they didn't work at all. But the reason they didn't work, I believe, in fact, I'm almost positive, is because I didn't know how to do them. You know, Facebook ads is an art.
Sorry.
is an art form all by itself. So I actually hired someone who's phenomenal. Like, she can target, she knows how to set the ad up. She monitors it like multiple times a day. And it is paying for itself in terms of I'm getting a lot of people, you know, who are signing up for my free 5-day class. And that's what I want. You need a robust mailing list. That's the, you know, as you said, you know, followers are fine, but followers are the beginning of the process. You know, I need to move people from followers and subscribers to actually subscribing to my newsletter. You know, that's because no one is going to buy a class from me or buy my art unless they're part of my insider community, which is my newsletter.
When they sign up for your class, though, they have to become a subscriber, right?
When they sign up for the 5-day class. Yeah. They automatic, and it says that, you know, that you are now part of my insider community and you can unsubscribe. But most people don't. Most people stick around because I do my best to provide a lot of value. You know, I give a lot of free stuff at the moment, it's not every week, but soon I'll be in the role of doing it every single week again. YouTube is just about to pick up for me. So starting in the end of April, I'll be doing weekly YouTubes again.
So that means you show up live?
I show up live and a lot of people show up live with me. You know, the whole idea is I want people to know who I am. Like, do you want to learn from me? I used to do this on Instagram, by the way. So for the first year, which was 2022, I did Instagram lives and did paper demos on Instagram. The problem is they get lost there. You know, they're still there. They sit there in highlights, but it's almost impossible to find them. But I'm doing the exact same thing. Now they're on YouTube live. And then I download those videos, have them edited, and I upload them the next day, you know, as polished YouTube.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So I don't know a lot. I would love to learn. I don't know a lot, along with our viewers, a lot about YouTube live. So you can just download it right after you. Mm-hmm. It gives you that option. And then you can recycle content, because that's really great advice too, is like, and Jenna Kutcher, actually, I just saw her, I think one of her ads of how many places she recycles her podcast.
Really?
Right? So you have your podcast. With mine, I always make a reel and a short, and my podcast is not as at all as popular as Jenna's, but one day, maybe. You know, you have reels, shorts, you cut it up, and then you put it on, she has it on LinkedIn. I put it on all the streaming places as well as on YouTube. Like, you recycle. And then I use that same advice and the theme for the podcast again in the newsletter, and then feature guests in the community. And here's what we talk about in the community. Like, you have this one thing and it can be reused and reused and recycled, and you don't have to be actually the jack of all trades quote. And I want to look it up for people, because everyone says the beginning of it, a jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one. So it is good to be it's the opposite of the actual quote's meaning, right? So it's good to be good at multiple things, and it's good that you're a creative and that you figured out a way to support your creativity by educating. But to draw the focus in on something that's working, I think, is what you've done really well, and then repeating it over and over. I'm not very good at that, and I would love to become better.
Well,
it's with my art.
Like, well, Brandy isn't the same way. Art. You seem like you're focused. Well, you know, I actually have my hands in several pots too. Like, you know, I know you're doing your podcast, you do your art, you do a business education. I mean, you're doing a lot of things. So am I. But what I and what I'm doing is I try to just focus on one project at a time. So, for instance, right now, I am very involved in I'm developing a class so I can teach in Europe. I want to teach in Italy. And I have a
good goal.
I know. I know. Look, my long-term goal, and to do classes in Italy or wherever you're going to go, it's usually a year and a half lead time. So I'm putting it together now. I'll sell it now, but it'll be August 2025. So, but that's my kind of long-term vision. Is it in the summers I will, you know, spend a month or two, you know, traveling around Europe, teaching. But you have to start somewhere. So that's my
goal. Are you going to run that yourself, or are you working with someone else on that?
No, usually you get invited by a venue. So I have a beautiful villa in Italy that they do art retreats. So they asked me to be one of their artists. And once I get one under my belt, then it's easier to, you know, decide where I want to go. And,
right. You know, just I'll join you one day. Just throwing it out there.
Hey, I think there's anyone a lot
of wants to learn a portrait. I'm there.
I think there's lots of opportunity for that. They're everywhere. There's so many destination art retreats all over France and Italy and Spain. And so that's what I want to do. But so that's my project right this moment. But that is as soon as I finish this, which is like the next 2 days, because there's a lot of moving pieces to this, like photographs and write-ups and all of that. Then I'm going right into YouTube again. So I have to, you know, plan out at least 6 months of YouTube. And as soon as that's done, I'm planning a very inexpensive course. It's called Collage Kickstart 2.0. That'll be a very inexpensive kind of a next step for people who have taken my freebie. But there's like, you know, but it's always one. Okay, this is the project now. 100% of my energy into one project, and then go
until
to the
you
next
finish
one.
It, like obsessively.
For the most part, yeah.
I'm super like that. I'm like, I have to get this weird thing that I thought of that I needed to make. Now I'm making it, and I won't stop until it's finished, or I'll probably never finish it, or I won't.
You feel psychotic because you're like running in too many directions. And I used to be that way when I was selling my art for my main income. I felt like I had too many hands in too many pots, and it was constantly like running into different directions. But it really helped when I decided, okay, I didn't think this was going to be my path. I really didn't think being an art educator was ever in my future, but it just happened. And it was just right, because I was in my professional life, meaning my corporate life. That's what I was. I was a corporate trainer. So doing this with art actually feels completely at home, and I love it. You know, it's like, I just love connecting with people like this and turning people on to themselves. It's like the coolest.
Yeah, being an artist is very isolating. It can be.
Yeah. Yeah, and the teaching isn't. You know, even though this is online teaching, I feel incredibly connected to people all over the world. And I just keep coming up with new ideas for new classes. And how can I do this bigger and better? And then one day, maybe I'll sell my art again. But right now, this is the season of my life, you know, to find new ways to market, new ways to teach, new things to teach. It's just a blast.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine stopping this anytime.
Strike while the iron's hot. Like, really, it's working. Because your YouTube grew insanely fast, but from, you know, other, like, from your Instagram growing and a lot of other that stuff, because you led people to YouTube from your Instagram, right?
And vice versa. I led people to Instagram from my YouTube. So it's kind of like this circle that goes around. I don't know which. My Instagram actually grew really fast because I happened to post a reel that went off. I mean, that it got viral. And so I went from this time last year, I had like 35,000 followers, which is not low. But no. I posted one reel and it went viral around, I mean, it was amazing. And I got up to 100,000 in a very short amount of time, over maybe 6 months. That one reel was circulated so many times that I got over 100,000 Instagram followers.
Let's talk about that. Because actually, so that's what I teach people. I just came out with a new marketing freebie. I said the freebie, but my first freebie was so popular that I was like, I should make a mini marketing class with better content and longer. So I did that last week, obsessively. And but amazing, that's what we focused on, because yes, I actually did it last Wednesday with my day.
Pretty impressive. I saw it. I was reading it, like, wow. How the hell did you do that?
So hopefully I was just like, I need to get this out of my head and out there to people, because it's so frustrating. And they're like, if I just pay money to this and boost it and whatever, and click the boost button, that is like the actual wrong move. And I learned it from Dina Brodsky, who's almost at 1 million followers now.
Oh my.
She's on her podcast next week. Wow. Another old one that I didn't put out soon enough, but I wanted to wait till our new site was up. Anyway, her course was all about getting viral, right?
Really?
And then I've learned some things since her course, obviously, because it's my own experiences and my own marketing research and what other marketing people are doing. And so, yes, that marketing stuff has been a little bit like more popular. And then that leads to diversify your creative income, because I really do want to empower other artists to know that being a successful artist and having these like confines or limiting beliefs, like you have to sustain your practice from your artwork sales. Like that can be debilitating. I know I did it for over a decade.
Yeah, me too.
Like currently I've only sold one piece from my collection, but I have 3 murals coming up. So I'm not worried about my summer off from my art academy where I make zero income, because I have that mural income. So I'm going to be able to pay for groceries for those months and our trip to Montreal. So it's like having all those pieces of the pie. But where I started with the viral thing is Dina, and I talk about it in that podcast a lot, and that's what she does with many, many other steps, but focusing first on getting how to get viral, make viral content. And here are the, like, here's the little formula, which I do go over in the marketing class. You've obviously found a key, but those viral videos are way better for organic reach and getting followers like that. You said, like, you went from 30 to 100 really fast because of one viral reel. So if you do this one thing, and it's figure out the formula to get those viral things that work, and then you repeat it. Like, for example, I have to do another Posca pen fixing video because it was popular, or what medium to avoid. People love when you talk about mediums, right? And so to repeat what works too, I think is really smart. And people forget about the one video, so then you just redo it in a different, more way.
Or you repost the same one. So I had.
I've never done that.
Oh, I mean, why do another one? So I had this one bubble. I was teaching how to make bubble papers. You know, so I had four.
That was cool.
So four different ways to make bubble papers. So that one got me, I don't know, 3 million views. That's good, right? And then I got another 30,000 followers on Instagram. So about 3 months later, I was kind of like, I wanted to promote another big event, which I think was Collage Kickstart Live. I do this big 10-day event in January. So I reposted it.
It's so much work. When you talk about these things, I'm like, I'd never be able to do that right now with kids.
Oh, well, with kids. But you do so many other things around kids. You're doing just as much, just in a different
thing. Yeah, one day I'll be able to show up for people in like
but you're showing up in a zillion ways already. It's just you do it around kids. I do it straight through, but it's the same thing. Anyway, so I reposted this one bubble video, same exact thing, no differences at all. It's just that I said, if you would like to learn this paper, join me for this live workshop. I got another 4 million views and another another 40,000 followers.
Oh.
And then I reposted it one more time, and that got another, I don't know, 3 million views. But I have to tell you, I do a lot of videos. I do a lot of process videos with papers, and I get anywhere from 15 to maybe 100,000 views. I think that's a pretty good range. 15, I'm happy with. 10,
that's
I'm
amazing.
Happy with. But
I get over 10, I'm happy as a clam.
Absolutely. 10 means you hit something. But I don't get that many followers off that. You know, but what gives followers?
I ruined my account a long time ago I hired this service, and it was one of those services that gave you bot followers, and it fucked up my account. so hard. So by the way, never do that, anyone.
Yeah, don't do that.
You can hire people to get organic followers, like real ones. And I stopped it right away after a few days. I was like, oh, but then I had all these bots. So when you're, when you hit people who aren't interacting, so bots, you'll never exit the funnel. So I have to work my ass off to exit the funnel. Hard.
Really?
So Dina says, if you've ever done that, if your account has bot followers, you have to start a new Instagram. And I was like, really? I can't step off this account. Like, I don't know.
I don't understand. Why does it get you in a cycle with bot followers? I don't understand. I know it's hard.
Because, yeah. So, you know how the funnel works. So if, let's take one, say you have 1,000 followers in the funnel. And I do this exact same thing in that little mini $15 marketing course. So the funnel is, you have 1,000 followers, and TikTok and Instagram and Shorts work in the way of, they show it to 1%. So they show it to, what's 1% of 10?
Yeah.
1,000. Is it 10? 10. They show it to 10 people and they're like, are these 10 people liking this video? Are they interacting with it? Are they sticking around and reading the caption? Are they saving it? Are they sharing it in a story? Okay, they are. Let's release it to 100. Okay, how are those 100 people reacting? They're kind of reacting, so we'll keep it here a while. And then it's kind of like sees how many people. And then if it never, if they're not interacting, if they're not interested, it just stays there. So when you get viral content, you're hitting, you know, and they won't spread it around. But they want, the goal of Instagram or all social media is people's time. So you want to, like, hook, line, and sinker. You want to hook people with really interesting things, like right away visually, or like a hook line, like what, like my one I just did, like what medium to never use. What medium? And people are like, I want to know.
What is it? I want to know.
What is it? It's graphite. Never use graphite.
Oh, I did read that. See, you hooked me. I actually read your post. I was dying to find out.
Yes. And it's continuing to, like, crawl. And so I'll probably do that again. But also the visual was really, it was of Scarlett Johansson's face. I did it for Halloween and made her Catwoman. So it was like, you know, her face is very eye-catching anyway, because you see it everywhere. So it's something people are already familiar with. And then it goes from, like, drawing to, like, full eye makeup face, right? And then to Catwoman. So visually, I got a hook line, and then visually very appealing. So it's very important that people, like, figure out those formulas that work and then kind of repeat them, I think, of what I'm learning from you today. And get out of that funnel with viral.
But if you hire, I mean, I've never done that to get followers. I've done other bad things, but with the bot,
it was a long time ago.
But how do you get stuck in a funnel with bots?
Because, so say I have 5,000 or 10,000 bot followers. I don't. I went and deleted them as much as I could. There's still a ton. Even when you have viral reels, if you go through the followers and every time you get a follower to click on them to see if they're a real person, a lot of times they're not. Like, I would say at least 80% they're not.
How do you know if they're not real? How do you know?
Because they have, like, zero followers.
Oh, okay.
They don't post a lot. They don't have interactions. They don't have captions on there.
Interesting.
It's annoying to erase bots by hand, and it's annoying to figure out who non-followers are so I can get my reach up. So I actually still have to scroll through followers to make sure they're real.
Okay, so what you're saying is, if you have a lot of fake followers, when you
they're not going to interact with your
interact, so that lowers,
so then you'll be stuck in that funnel.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. The only viral post I have, and it's really frustrating for me, is that Christmas Teddy and I made poppycock. So, like, a caramel popcorn.
Yeah.
And it was so popular because it's so good, but it was so popular because people saved it so they could rewatch the recipe over and over and over again. Cause I have the whole, so I'm like, I need to teach people stuff. Like, I teach them in real life or in my classes, but teach them on my Instagram.
Right.
Clearly.
Right. That's
I'll get better.
That's why my bubble, learning. That's why my bubble reel went.
You're teaching them something.
Well, yeah, and people saved it because it looked like I was teaching you the whole thing. It's just that it's exponentially more complicated than what the reel looks like. But then I just send you to YouTube. And yeah. YouTube you get
the longer form, full version.
Yeah.
Yeah, the full version. But you're teaching people something that they wanted, like a project that they want to do. I guess we just told everyone the secret. The secret to how it works is that you want people to save it and rewatch it over and over to get the directions to figure it out. They're like, how do I? Okay, I need a cup of butter. And right? Like, I'm like, maybe I just should have. I love cooking. I'm like, maybe I should have just gone with cooking.
Yeah, forget the artist thing. Just become a professional chef.
Yeah, my dad is a chef. And that's what I wanted to do. And he said, no, he didn't want that life for me specifically. He's like, the hours are bad, you know, like, and chef's hours are bad. But I think you can make being a chef work with the same formula as an artist and creative, like cooking is creativity. I'm not going to do that because maybe one day, but I'm not going to do that because I actually really enjoy cooking a lot. And it's the one thing for myself and my family. And it's like where I'm not, you know, having to share it, having to break it down, having to write it out. And I don't use recipes. So
really? You make it up?
Yes. So I even with baking, once you figure out the formula, like, you know how much water and flour makes, you know, by consistency what the bread is. And then to make sweet breads, you add eggs and or honey or sugar or whatever. And like, you figure out the formulas. It's always been like something I just knew how to do since a young age. It was easy. So yeah, it's just like a natural thing. Let's stop talking about it because now I'm like, maybe I should have just gone into cooking.
What's funny, but Brandy, I'm just the opposite. I hate cooking so much. My life's ambition for years has been, I know I'll have made it if I can hire someone to cook for me, because I want to finish work and I want it to be there.
You know,
I don't want to cook ever. But so we are compromised until I find that magical cook, you know, that can just deliver my food every day. We do home delivery. I mean, we do the, it's called Home Chef or Green Chef or Hello Fresh. There's all kind of things. But my husband, I love these as an alternative.
Oh, so he doesn't like cooking either?
Oh, no. Both of us, you know.
No. Oh, no.
I traveled, you know, corporately as my job for years and years. And room service was my gig. Or, I mean, DoorDash. I don't care where I get it from. Just bring it to me. You do not want to be involved in the preparation of it.
No. See, I love it. I love.
Good for you.
And but it's something I've already like kind of figured out. Like, I'm not really looking to evolve or like, I have figured it out. And like, my interests and peaks are in research and creativity. And you got to follow those things, right? Like, I already know how to make sourdough every week and how to make the ferment and all that. Well, I can't have it anymore. I have rashes everywhere. I can't have eggs, gluten, stuff like that. So it's annoying. But I loved doing all of that stuff. But it's like, I did that and like, it just kind of boring to me now. Like, when I see other people do it though, I'm like, oh, you left your ferment in too long or used too much compared to the water and the flour. So like, when I see other people doing it, I'm like, oh, like Jenna specifically Kutcher, she posted a picture of her thing on Instagram. And I was like, I just like, I know she would never message back on Instagram, but I was like, just so you know, this is how you can adjust to get your second rise better, or whatever.
Wow. That's impressive.
Like, it's super dorky. Right.
It's impressive. You have that skill.
But it's like, when we're creative people, we have different interests in different things, right? We have different obsessions. And when I talked to Jenna, I asked her, I actually mostly forget, but we were running out of questions and we had like 2 minutes left. I was like, what's your ideal day? And she started talking about everything else, but like what she does. She's like, I've started rowing. I'm taking this sourdough class. Like, it's, I don't know if it's like an ADHD or thing where you get obsessed with stuff and you learn it really quickly until you're like not interested anymore.
I guess it's because at least in like you and I, we're so involved in our art businesses that if you ask me what my ideal day was, there'd be a little bit of art in there, but not much, you know, because my ideal day is when I get to have a vacation from what I do all the time. You know, I'm more than Monday through Friday. You know, I do a lot on the weekends and nights, and I love every second of it. But my ideal day, I want to sit on the porch with a favorite book. I want to paint my nails. I want to go to the spa. You know, there's all these things that don't involve my art because it's a vacation from what I do every day. Because my art business is my job. This is not, you know, people, you know, glamorize, oh, you're a full-time artist. I love being a full-time artist because Monday through Friday, I do what I love the most, but it is still a job. And it is the hardest job I have ever had in my entire life. And I've had really hard jobs, but now I'm the boss and I am doing work that is so freaking satisfying. You know, I'm supporting and inspiring people and seeing the most amazing artwork they create. And I'm creating artwork too, alongside them. I mean, it's the best job ever, but it's also the hardest one, you know? So I need a vacation from my job, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't honestly, after trying to be a full-time artist by selling art and churning out so many custom artworks to support myself financially, I don't think I'd choose to draw in a day anymore either. You know, I love what I do, and maybe I would do a little bit in the day, but like to make the art, like I get that cup full with work, right?
Exactly.
I get to create with kids and see the joy in Art Academy. And that's the biggest piece of my pie, by the way, because I'm very open about pie, especially in our course. I did it with Shannon, Amy. And she's traveling the world right now. Actually, I'm going to hook you two up because she's amazing. And she does a lot of art education and one-on-one mentorship as a big piece of her pie. But they were in Finland and now they're in Italy and a whole
teaching
bunch
art.
Of different.
Teaching art?
Yeah. No, she has 2 young kids. So they're traveling the world while they're young, but she's still doing her mentorship and online classes. But she could maybe give you some like tips on where the most beautiful spots are.
Oh,
and
great.
She's just awesome anyway. You'll really love her.
That'd be fabulous.
But
I feel the same way, Brandy, is that, you know, the art business is art. You know, even though I don't produce a lot of new art now. In fact, my art is like, I'm doing this little 100-day project. So I got like a whole book full of all my 100-day collages. And I love that. But that's, you know, 30 minutes a day, if I'm lucky. But the rest of it is 100% art. You know, figuring out YouTube and figuring out I'm designing a workshop for Italy. And that's all art. I'm just not producing a physical product to sell. As in an art piece. It's all art though.
I look forward to making reels. I think it's fun.
Do you?
Because it's art.
Yeah.
It's videography and editing. It's a artwork. It is.
And it's challenging. It's, you know, it's intriguing. You know, I'm of the age where I could retire. And it's interesting. A good number of my friends are retired. And
are they bored? I feel like.
They would never tell me that. But I can't, to me, it looks boring. I just can't imagine not being completely I'm serious. I'm captivated by my day. When I stop at, you know, 6 o'clock, I have to force myself to stop at 6 because I'm like, oh, I want to do this next thing because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But I really need to go read a book.
But for self-care.
Yeah. For balance and sanity.
That's why I like the balance of motherhood. And
really?
Doing this is because like they force me to go outside. I love going outside. I run every morning almost or bike or whatever. But Like they snapped me out of that obsessive mode of like, I just want to do one more thing. I just, one more. And they're like, no, I yeah, just opened, right. We're doing chickens right now. And they're super into it to go to my dad's farm. No, I just let out all the chickens into the garage. So actually you have to come over here and do that.
I've been watching your reels on chickens. Yeah. So you're growing them for your father?
Yeah. So he has, he has land, and this is one day, I'm not sure about this dream because it's, I know it would be hard, and maybe I can get some advice because you said you're close to retirement age. He's got all this land, and like one day, obviously I'll be able to buy into it or inherit parts of it or whatever. And I'm just like, should I build out there? Should I have a retreat center? And when I talked with my friends in Victoria, I went out and I was podcasting on my vacation because there's like really cool female artists in Victoria. We met up and did a podcast, and Susan hosted Salvati, and they were like, you could sell plaid jackets because that's Canadian, and campfire photos. And I was there like planning out the Canadian parts of the retreat center. But I'm like, also though, like, and an eco-friendly one. I'm like, also though, that would be so much work, but obviously rewarding. And I will one day have more time.
Yes. I think you'll have a tremendous amount of time. Do you know Jeannie Oliver?
Yes. So she's on my podcast coming up.
Oh, wow.
Is it Jeannie or Jean?
I have no idea. You'll find out.
I was like, she probably said, I'm so nervous when it comes to names. And I was like, is it
the way it's spelled?
GM?
But anyway, she's amazing in terms of what
she's retiring from it.
So she's not going to do the retreat. I know she sold her home where she did the retreat, but she's actually retiring from it. She's not retiring.
I was just thinking, I was like, dude, you've got my like dream house life sitting there.
No, her house. The house she sold was like the best house in the world. But now she's renovating a brand new another house that's dated that is going to be fantastic. But she's retiring from hosting workshops?
She said she's shifting gears.
Okay, that's better.
She's making like a whole, like I don't think she really wants to focus on that anymore. From the sounds of, from what I can remember from our conversation, she said she was feeling like she needed something different and new. And I was like, when you see her stuff, you're like, but you did so well. And there's like 200 people there, like for like whatever those cost, like that's a lot of, you know, saying goodbye to a lot of something that worked really well.
Yeah. And people have, I have never been to a retreat of hers, but people say they're amazing.
I had Wendy Brightville.
Oh,
do you know Wendy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She said she's gone and they were amazing. And then she pointed me in her direction. And then I reached out and saw if she wanted to come on. And she said,
good for you.
See, the podcast, you get to talk to like the coolest people in the world and like pick their brains. And you're so great. And you're so open and honest. That's why I'm like, the podcast takes up so much time and energy, but I'm like, then I wouldn't have like those same friendships and connections and like, you know, one day doing a retreat together or teaching somewhere. Like I want to travel again. I know I can't as much in this season of life.
Right.
Just leave for a month. Like that's not going to happen. Probably it could, but that's not fair to my partner or my family.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, it's not time. Not yet. It's not time now.
I'll have time later. I will. One day they won't give a shit about me leaving for a month at all, right? Like probably in 10 years, they'll be like, mom's somewhere off again or whatever. And my partner's good. He's always supported me. I did them before we had kids. I did residencies, lots, and they're great. So yeah, like one day I do with all the women that I've talked to, I envision like, you know, grouping together and doing classes and retreats. And I don't just like vacations. I like paid vacations.
Oh, me too. I'm actually going to the beach for 11 days. I call it a solo art retreat.
Nice.
And it's my fourth time, and it's the most heavenly thing, and it's tax deductible. But I really do art while I'm there. It's just that, you know, there's something special about being by yourself. Even though I have no kids, by the way. So you'd think I am by myself, but it doesn't feel that way. You know, my life is, you know, very complicated. So it just feels good. I love, especially the beach is my place. So oh. I love, I mean, if I could, I would live on the beach permanently, but.
Hey, you not get there.
Not the season of my life right now.
No, you can get there if you keep going the way you do. Oh, I had a curious question about, so you grew your YouTube. Are you at the point where you're earning income from ads on YouTube?
Oh, you do that really easy. I mean, that's pretty early on. Well,
easy for you.
Well, I got, yes. But I got it pretty early. All you need is like 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time. And then mm-hmm. you apply. And so I got that within the first couple of months. So I do earn income, but it's not, you know, you could make an entire income from YouTube easily, but it's kind of like getting a viral Instagram video. You got to figure out what the formula is because there's a lot of pieces to it. And so I'm learning that because I wouldn't mind having that as a reliable income source. But right now I do earn money every month.
Mm-hmm. It's not significant yet.
It's 150 a month at the moment.
But oh yeah. That's
no, that, but I when I would, but yet. So I've taken a break from YouTube from December and this is April. So I haven't done any YouTube, but it's stayed steady and I grow every single day on YouTube. It's unlike Instagram, you know, Instagram, you can take a dip every now and then for some odd reason, like you lose followers, people unfollow. No one unfollows you on YouTube. You know, once they subscribe, you got them. So I continue to have a consistent income. If you call 150, you know, big, it's not. But when I'm doing weekly videos, then it's 300 a month or 300 a month. But, you know, people are making 10,000 a month. You know, this is mm-hmm. a pretty regular thing. You just got to figure out the formula. You know?
Oh my gosh. Well, the kids, the people who do kids stuff are like, they must be just bathing or swimming in their outdoor pools in money.
Really? Like,
well, for instance, if you look up Gabby and Alex, that's like the dad clearly like does the video content and then he probably I think he started editing it himself and then obviously, but oh my gosh, it's insane. Those people who do kids YouTube things, like they're just, or Unspeakable. And then they sell their merch. Like their chocolate bars are in the grocery store. Like it's insane.
Wow.
Feastables. Mr. Beast sells Feastable chocolate bars. And I have to buy these disgusting chocolate bars every time I go to the grocery store. Cause you know, like but they also spend like sometimes they wreck like $1 million car or something so dumb. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, what is wrong? This is what's wrong with the world.
there's a guy in Scotland who's, you know, insecure. He's very sweet. And his name is George, I think. And he puts these videos out probably only once a month. But they're about his lifestyle in Scotland. Like he did this long video series on how he renovated his little kind of mini house. And then what it's like to be a YouTube person. I don't know. But it's so sweet. And he gets 10,000 a month revenue. And he's like one of my idols just because he's not really. I mean, I would love to do a lifestyle. This is what it's like to really be an artist. This is what the real game is. You know, most of us are not earning a full income off selling art, which by the way, no one tells you.
No. You know?
So I think this might be a YouTube channel. Yeah. Like actually.
Some people are like Demetra Milan. She's also been on the podcast and they're so sweet and they run the Milan Institute. She posted what she sells her artwork. Like what you mean? I'm just like, holy.
But she's the minority. Shit. You know, most of it.
My gosh. She's like the 1%.
It takes time to build that up. You just don't all of a sudden sell a full income. If I could sell a full income on my art, that'd be phenomenal.
Yeah. I would have done it already.
But maybe not. Because then it wouldn't have gotten me here if I was just selling the art. And I did sell art for a long time, but you just can't sell enough. Basically, you're a factory, you know, unless you can get to a
real. And that's how she felt. She talked about that on our first podcast interview. She was successful when she was like a child prodigy.
Oh.
She made this, her parents were already artists through galleries. So she already had those gallery connections, right? To begin.
That helps.
Big time. And then like 4 or 5 galleries were representing her by the time she was 16. And then she started, she talks about when she found her like voice and combined like the woman with like a wolf or a horse or whatever. And then she was like, I would have to make one a week. So she was selling one giant oil painting a week. And so she was like, and then the gallery takes whatever. And she's like, I wasn't in control. And I was totally burnt out, you know? So like she started, like her Instagram grew too really well in the early stages. I think she's where everyone goes like later, where you're like, okay, I haven't seen a lot of growth in a long time, but she was like an early Instagram grower. And then she just started selling herself, right? And then obviously at the same time, like her husband does a lot of, they host that game show, or not game show, their what is their show called? They went to Greece with those artists and made a show about it, and they have the Milan Institute because her mom started doing, like, it's a big creative factory of like them all working. There's lots of them and they all work together, right? The Milan family. I'm surprised you haven't heard of them.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so they do this like 1-year mastery program for artists, which I actually recommend, because a lot of artists spend a lot of time and money in art school and come out not on top. I was one of them. So, and you have to learn about business yourself later. I'm sure the programs have changed since I've done it, but Facebook, like by the time I graduated, had just kind of come out. So, and I could sell art just off Facebook. Those were the days.
But you still have to sell a lot of it.
Oh, you know, to.
At very high price points in order to, I mean, because I
mean, you have to keep making it.
Oh,
it's not sustainable.
I have a good friend that I met from Instagram, and we were basically at the same level. We were making small collages, you know, and she was selling them, you know, 35, 50, 75, you know, somewhere in the under 100.
See, that'd be my fucking nightmare to package up and ship.
Okay, but both. then she had her dream was to sell in galleries in the Midwest. So she applied to lots of galleries. She put out packages to I don't know how many galleries, and 2 or 3 of them hit. So she got 2 or 3 galleries in the Midwest. And so now the reason I say this is like being a factory is because she is a factory. She is supplying art to these 2 or 3 galleries. And she made $100,000 in maybe it was last year, but what she really made was 40, because like she sold 100, but the gallery took half and she paid for her supplies. And she's living
not net profits.
No,
that was her gross income. No.
And she's living in a 1-bedroom where her living room is the, you know, is her studio. And she's successful. You know, she is a sought after artist who is barely making it. And she's like just churning. You know, it's like, you know, and she's like, I would consider like mid-level. You know, she's made it into galleries. People want her work. They wait for her showings. And she's not making very much, even though her art sells well. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I think it's a small percentage of people that can just make an income. Unless,
well, that's what I was doing. And
unless
I was
if you hit it lucky.
I was like, no, I said no to that. I did hit that level of churning. I was making 8 pieces a month and they were selling 8 custom pieces a month. Wow. And they were selling. And ouch. Then financially, I was like, this isn't enough for the work I'm putting out. And then I wrote my book, took a break, wrote my book. Teddy was in there. So he takes up everyone's time. And then I shifted I was like, this is year one, new business practice, new business model. That's when Shannon invited me to join her mastermind. And she said that to me in the midst, or it was the year before I burnt out, I was in Shannon's mastermind. We were in it for a long time together. A lot of artists from around the world. She handpicked artists to be in this group. And she's like, Brandy, I'm glad you're succeeding. That's really great. But is it sustainable? And I remember, like, I literally remember those words ringing in my head. And when she said that to me, and I was like, I'm fine, but I wasn't fine. And like, you're so grateful that people want your art.
Yeah.
Right. But it was killing me creatively. Like, your creativity is in a well that's like constantly full. It drains out. And mine was empty. And I wrote a book for a year and a half. That's how empty it was.
Wow. I
couldn't paint. Like, I did to keep up with like the orders, but I don't even say I do them anymore. And I only get a few a year. And if they're good ones, if they're good orders, like a woman from Texas, a designer, loved the piece I did for Sarah Baumler with HGTV, like House of Brian and Island of Brian or whatever, all those shows. And she's like, I want one just like that. And it was like a $9,000 commission. Wow. So I'm going to say yes to that, right?
Yeah.
That's like, and it's fun, but you're still working with a client. You're still, you know, following their parameters. So like a little bit not fun, right? You're still, I couldn't imagine going back to doing that all like my full time and not making enough profits and draining the creative well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's smart to set up those diverse and sustainable passive income streams. And then when you do create, it feels good.
I know. That's why I
want to be there.
I know. That's why I've been doing the 100-day project, because I mean, I really love it because I'm not doing it for anybody. You know, I'm just doing it for me and I'm growing so much. So that's really fun. But then it turns into, now I'm pressured to do a collage every day.
Yeah. But so. I think it's good. There's something good about that. And what I love, why I love you're doing that is because that will feed into other work.
It does.
And to get better as a creative, like you can't just step in and sell classes because like, you have to be good at what you do and you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it took you a season to get there of creating and struggle and process and showing up every day is how I got better. Doing hundreds, it was 132 in a year.
Wow.
Hundreds of portraits in a year.
Wow.
I can make a really good portrait. And then that led to portrait class, right? So like, it's not all for nothing.
That's absolutely right.
Right. No, and I'm like, wow, other people like this too.
No,
I don't need to keep it a secret. I don't need to make all the portraits in the world. Like
the key is like, how do you fit that into, how do you fit real art making, you know, as opposed to business art making into your life, which is why I like the 100-day project, because it does set a rhythm up. And I mean, I've already developed classes off of it. Because mm-hmm. I realized, oh, I could teach this.
Yes.
Okay.
I know. Isn't it funny? You're like, I did this for myself, but now I want to do something with it.
Well, that's the problem when you're in art, you know, when you get into art education, you come up with something and you go, oh, I can teach it. And then suddenly it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. I mean, it's still fun, but you're no longer just doing it for the pure joy of it. Now my brain is churning. Oh, okay. This is how I would teach this. This is the process. This is how I take people through the journey. And that's fun too, but it takes, sorry.
That's okay.
It's not the same as when you're just like throwing paper. For me, you know, it's throwing paper around, you know, and gluing it down like a wild woman. That is so much fun.
Collage is fun. It's so freeing. And because you really can't do it wrong. And if you do, like, it's not like you've put a ton of, you know, your everything into it. It's not like when I'm like 3/4 of the way done the portrait and you're like, wow, I really effed that up so hard. And now that's 40 hours of whatever, right? You're like, oh gosh.
Yeah, the law is very forgiving. You know,
yes.
You just add another paper on top.
Whenever I do a collection now, I mix collage with portraiture. So I still get that fun element of making the collection because collage is so fun. So I'm glad you're connecting people to that freeing, you know, and with the making papers too, with what you do is so amazing because that's freeing too. That's expressionism right there. And then you kind of get to combine it all together with these happy accidents and it can bring so many people joy. So thank you so much for doing that and making it a resource. And then people feel grateful and they want to support you. And I think that's the key to what you've done as a creative.
Yeah, I think it's part of building a business. You know, you give things to people and people, you know, it's like a relationship you're building, you know, with people you're giving to. And it kind of goes in a circle. You give, they give, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. it keeps going around. But I'd say that I probably give more than I, because that's part
I
of
give
it.
A lot too.
Yeah.
And like, I have a lot of creative friends and they've done a lot of great projects and like photography, videography with me. And last month I was like, you know, like my photographer that shot for the I Am collection, I was like, I'm going to give her one of the pieces from this collection because why not? Like whatever, you know, like we got to support each other. And I think when you give, and this is not why you give, when you give, you get more in return somehow. You just don't always know what that is. I just gifted a huge piece to the guy who always shows up and does aerial footage and captures me doing murals, my friend Josh. So he always shows, and he will not let me pay him, by the way. So I'm like, this is for the years of showing up.
Wow.
And here, because he's like obsessed with this giant piece. And I was like, he's like, how can I get one like this? How much would it cost? He messaged me like 2 months ago. And I was like, you know what, Josh? Why don't you just take that one? Whatever. It was from another collection. It's sitting in a place over there showing. Hasn't sold. Why not?
Wow.
Why not? You don't give. I'm not saying give your art away. Your art has value. But my creative friends, I feel, have supported me in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's an energy exchange and they'll appreciate it, you know.
It's a lovely
and
way
there's it's magic in
it's a lovely
in
way of
being
pizza.
Gracious mm-hmm. Yeah, also people will trade you for services. Mm-hmm. We could talk for so long.
We could, Brandy, and I love this. We gotta like find a way to like work together somehow.
We should.
I
Let's
know I love your energy. It's like,
oh. Is it? I don't know.
Oh, it's a good
sometimes
thing.
Sometimes it's not, but that's normal. Yeah, no, I think working with other creatives, it always happens at the right time for the right reason, and something bigger and cooler happens, and you just never know what it is, but you got to be up for it.
I agree.
I would love that. Here, I'll stop recording. Thanks for being here, everyone.
If you're looking for some time for yourself to relax, release, and unwind, Oasis has the perfect space for you. They offer yoga and spin classes of all levels. Whether you are a beginner or advanced student, Oasis thrives on accommodating all aspects of the practice. Let their serene environment and gracious staff help you in your journey of peace, healing, and strength. Sign up online at www.oasishotyogastudio.com or by downloading the Oasis Hot Yoga Studio app. Feel like yourself. You deserve it.
Thank you so much to our supporters and our community partners. We could not do this podcast and outreach and projects in our community without you. That is Red Bicycle Communications. They are so amazing. They uplift in so many ways in our community. Jill started her business and she talks about it on the podcast. So Jill Kelly, check out that first episode. She's come on a few times and empowered others along the way. So she's grown her own business and her vision. And she was even featured in the Toronto Star, I believe. Is that the right newspaper? Hopefully. It was very cool. It was a very cool business feature because she was like, I'm going to try this out in my community and we'll see if it works and if it doesn't. And obviously it's been like probably more than a decade since and they're doing really well and they have founded the Women in Business Awards. So I'm very proud to be a partner with them. We have Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic Center. I love them so much. They make me feel good in my own skin. It's one of my biggest touch points and what I'm most self-conscious about. And I recently have been starting to get some of my tattoos removed that I got when I was 16 and 19. So obviously I didn't think those through, but it doesn't hurt, which was very cool and very surprising. So they are the only people locally who do tattoo removal. And of course, face treatments and a whole bunch of another like laser hair removal and an array of you can do injections and a whole bunch of stuff. So check Nouveau out. We also have BioClean Disaster Services. They're so wonderful and their mission is, I love their mission statements and their values. It's to uplift community and community through women and children. So what happened, and I remember talking to them about this when we initially partnered, is what happens when you empower females is they live a better life, and if they have children, then they raise better children, and that is the way that to empower community and growth and I guess like challenge the poverty cycle in a way. So so I love talking to them about that and in our initial conversations of when they became a partner. And they have helped us along the way with mural washing and a lot of different projects around the city. So I love them so much. And they do a wonderful job because, I mean, it's for like if your basement got a flood for some strange reason, like that's your most vulnerable time in your life. And they're there for you to help you through and ease any situation or help you in any way, because it is, that is like when stuff like that happens, it's so like, you're just, it's so frustrating. So they support people in that journey. And then we have Oasis and Hot Yoga Spin Studio, safe space for you to rest your mind and gain more energy and come back to yourself again. So I love it there. It's always been, it's a beautiful space. They have gorgeous plants and it'll just refresh you and revitalize you. We're so lucky to have them in our community. Thank you so much for being here and we will chat with you soon, my friends.